Well, hello. We're looking at the scriptures now. We're going to look at a beautiful topic. We are looking at the topic of adoption because it's the first Sunday of the month. And the first Sunday of the month in 2020, we are looking at the cross and how it applies to the Christian, what the death of Jesus means, and what we get out of it. What blessings God gives us because Jesus died. And as I've said, the topic is adoption. How a Christian becomes a child of God through Jesus Christ. And what that means to us in our daily lives. It's a beautiful topic. As I mentioned last week in the blessing, I was reading J.I. Packer's book, Knowing God. And he has a massive chapter on adoption in it. It's beautiful. And I was reading that the day I found out he passed away. He passed away on the 17th of July, I think it was. I was reading that chapter, preparing for this sermon. It's a beautiful chapter in a beautiful book, and it's rightly called a classic. So we're going to look at adoption. And I've obviously, having read J.I. Packer's books, I'm going to draw a lot from that sermon, from that chapter rather, in this sermon, because it's brilliant. It really is, and it's a brilliant topic. Our scripture reading is from the first letter of John, chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. The first letter of John, chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. It's just, the first letter of John is at the end of the New Testament. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. And that's God's word. So let's just pray and ask God to open our eyes, our hearts, and our lives. Heavenly Father, you are our Father and we are your children. Thank you for the blessing of calling us to you. And we pray that as we look at adoption, we would believe it, we would love it, and we would practice it. In Jesus' name, amen. Adoption. As I've been doing over the past few months when we get to this topic, I'm going to quote a little explanation of what adoption is, because that's where we need to start. What is adoption? That's question 34 in the Westminster Shorter Catechism. A catechism is a book of instruction about religion. And the Westminster Shorter Catechism, which was written in the 1640s, asks, what is adoption? And the answer is this. Adoption is an act of God's free grace, whereby we are received into the number and have a right to all the privileges of the sons of God. Adoption is an act of God's free grace, whereby we are received into the number, so we become and have the right to all the privileges of the sons of God. That's amazing, I think. And one thing that needs to be said at this point, I quote the Westminster Shorter Catechism because I think that's a beautiful definition. But the Westminster Shorter Catechism is part of a wider collection of what we call Westminster documents. There's the Shorter Catechism, the Larger Catechism, and the Westminster Confession. We would call it a statement of faith today. They were put together in the 1640s. I think 1647 was when they were published. It was the first time in any Christian confession of faith that adoption was treated and given its own chapter. Adoption was always hinted at, but never explored in any great detail. Now think on that, 1647 years, 1647 years passed before adoption, this great privilege, got its own chapter in any of the church's confessions of faith. J.I. Packer in Knowing God says adoption is the highest privilege of the gospel. And that makes it quite surprising. And indeed, many might say, if the highest privilege of the gospel, surely having our sins forgiven is the highest privilege of the gospel. Justification, what we looked at last month, being counted righteous in Christ, being reckoned righteous in Christ, surely that's the biggest blessing of the gospel. That's the primary blessing, but the highest blessing is adoption. And Packer puts it like this: justification, God is a judge, and we are guilty before the judge, and he sentences us. But somebody else takes our punishment, and we get his innocence, so the judge declares us innocent. And that is a great blessing. That's heaven, to know that God loves us that much. That our sins are forgiven. That's a great blessing. But a greater blessing is to know that that judge is our Father. Packer puts it like this: to be right with God, the judge, is a great thing. But to be loved and cared for by God the Father is greater still. So to know that we are not just forgiven, not just counted righteous, not that we can just go free, but that we go free and we go into the arms of a loving heavenly Father. That is the greatest blessing of the gospel. And indeed, when you look at the New Testament, God is called Father over and over and over again. In the Old Testament, he's called Father now and again. He's called the Father of Israel. But as I say, it's now and again. In the Old Testament, God sets up an entire system. God says, you stay back. You have to have a priest to approach me because I am holy, I am righteous, I am almighty, and you're not. And then Jesus, in his ministry, in his life, in his death, fulfilled all that. He is the great high priest. He is the final prophet. He is the great king. And so now, being united to him, we can go into the presence of God and we, with him, can call him Father. Which brings us neatly to the next point. This is a privilege of the gospel. How does it happen? I've hinted at one through our union with Christ. Through our union with Christ. Galatians 3:26 says this: for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. In Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. It's through Christ we become children of God. But remember, God does a work in us before we have faith. Do you see now how these first Sundays of the month, these sermons are all fitting together now as we go on? Yes, we are justified. Yes, we have repentance and faith. But why did we do that? Because God did a work in us. God regenerated us. God caused us to be born again. He called us because he'd chosen us. So how did we become children of God? Through faith in Christ, yes. But ultimately, by God's sovereign grace, or God's free grace, as the Catechism says. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 says this: but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We were born again by the will of God. And that enabled us to receive Christ, and that's how we become adopted. It's through God's work giving birth to us, giving us faith in Christ, we receive him, and so we receive the privileges of justification, forgiveness of sins, righteousness of Christ, and adoption, the being received into the number and receiving the right of the privileges of the sons of God. And if it was written today, we'd say sons and daughters of God. That's how we become children of God. It's a work of God that causes us to have faith, and we receive it through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. And that brings us to an important point. Our sonship is seen in Jesus' sonship. Jesus is the Son of God by nature. We are sons and daughters of God by adoption. But Jesus, in his humanity, is the true Son of God, and so we share in that sonship by adoption. And indeed, unlike human adoption, if a couple have a baby and then they want to adopt, the two children will have different DNA. Well, we get God's DNA because the Holy Spirit comes into us and makes us more like Jesus. And that's for next month. That's sanctification. But we become like Jesus. So we're going to look at the sonship of Jesus. And I'm going to use J.I. Packer here. There are four things that we see in the sonship of Jesus. We see authority, Jesus' greatest will and delight was to do his Father's will. He says in John 4:34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. Even the night before he died, Jesus said, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not what I will, but yours be done. As a good son, he feared God and obeyed God and delighted to obey God, even when it cost him his life. In Philippians 2, Paul says he became obedient to the death of the cross. Affection. Jesus says in John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 9, the Father has loved me, and I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. So in his humanity, Jesus, and as God, he was loved from everlasting to everlasting. As a perfect man, he submitted to God's fatherhood, God's authority, and he received God's love. What's the first thing God said to him publicly and about him publicly after his baptism? This is my beloved son, in him I am well pleased. Or in Luke's version it says, you are my beloved son, and you, I am well pleased with you. Fellowship. And fellowship means, it's actually the same word as we get communion from. It means a deep spiritual fellowship between the Father and the Son. Jesus says, the one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. John 8:29. He has fellowship with the Father, because the Father wants to have fellowship with him. He's his son. And ultimately, the Father honours the Son. He has authority over the Son. He has affection for the Son. He has fellowship with the Son. And he honours the Son. Jesus says in John 5:22, the Father has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honour the Son just as they honour the Father. So God gives Jesus an honour. He exalts him to the highest place, to his right hand on high, and he delights to show him honour. That is Jesus' sonship by nature, and it is ours by adoption. Look at that. Soak up that. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Jesus is the Son. We are one with him. We receive him by faith, and we receive the privileges of the sons of God that he has by nature. That's adoption. So what difference should that make to our lives? Well, it should make a very big difference. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives his vision for how his disciples should live. And he teaches them to pray. And what does he teach them to pray? Our Father. So the first thing it teaches us how to live, it teaches us how to pray. The Christian life is a life of prayer, and it's structured around the fatherhood of God. Our Father. Romans 8 verse 15 says, "You have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father." Yes, God is a great God. God is high and exalted. God is holy and righteous. God is far above the universe as he is above a worm, but he's our Father. There is a sense in which God is far away, but there's a sense in which God is near and intimately near. He is our Father. And he gives us the Spirit. That's what I was talking about. This, if you will, this God's DNA, the Holy Spirit, as a down payment to seal us, to cause us to be born again, cause us to see Christ as all that he is and to love him and to see the Father and say, Abba, Father. John Calvin called prayer sitting a child sitting on a father's knee, whispering lovingly in his ear. That's a beautiful picture of prayer. And on Tuesday's seminar at the Keswick Convention, Joe Jackson mentioned this verse from Psalm 62. And this is the Old Testament. Bear in mind, this was under the shadows of the law. The psalmist could write this: "Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." You know, pour out your heart before him. Whatever you're feeling, whatever you want, whatever you feel you need to say to God, just say it. Whether it's, and remember, it's the book of Psalms, remember? You can lament, you can grieve, you can praise, you can thank, you can wonder, you know, why is this happening, God? As long as you do it reverently. You can confess your sins. All that is in the book of Psalms. And Jesus fulfills it in his life and his death and his teaching, so we can have more confidence in our Heavenly Father. And this is a lovely story. Just thinking of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "You are evil." He's talking to his disciples. "You are evil, and you wouldn't refuse your kids good things, would you?" Imagine your Father in heaven, who's all good and all knowing and all kind. Imagine what he'll give you. That doesn't mean he'll give us everything we ask for. Like any good parent, God knows what we need. And J.I. Packer tells a beautiful story. He was, I think it was his 11th birthday, he wanted a bike. He had his heart set on a bike. But his father, who was a wise and kind and loving father, bought him a typewriter. Packer was obviously disappointed. He told his father he wanted a bike, but he got a typewriter. And Packer started to write his essays. And he developed a writing skill. His father knew he had the gift to write, and he bought him a typewriter to practice. And even up until his old age, Packer used a typewriter to write his books. He wasn't a modern man. He didn't make the transition to computers. He used a typewriter and a fax machine. But you see, his father knew what was best for him. And our father knows what's best for us. So we won't always get yes from God. Like any good parent, he knows when to say no. And we have to trust him that he is God only wise. And trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That's the first difference adoption makes to our life. It gives us confidence in prayer. Because and that's what it means to ask in Jesus' name. It says, Christ is my Saviour and my representative, and I stand in his righteousness. But that also means I should only ask for the things that Jesus would ask for. But it gives us confidence in prayer. Knowing that we are forgiven, we are accepted, we are loved, we are cherished, and that God loves to hear from us. So adoption affects how we pray. It affects our conduct, how we live. We should imitate God. Now, there is a sense in which we cannot imitate God. There are some things that only God can be and do. Only God can be all-knowing. Only God can be almighty. Only God can make a universe out of nothing. Now, no matter how talented or brainy we are, you can be as clever or as gifted as my beautiful wife, but even she can't make a universe out of nothing. Only God can do that. But there are some things that God is and does that we can do. And Jesus mentions it in the Sermon on the Mount. He says in Matthew 5, verses 44 and 45, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes the sun rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust." So being kind and generous and forgiving, which is full of what the Sermon on the Mount is about, that's because we want to be like God. We have God's DNA. We share the Holy Spirit with Christ to make us more like him. Like Father, like Son. We have the Holy Spirit to give us a love for the things that God loves. And God loves to show mercy, compassion, kindness, gentleness, forgiveness. There's also another passage in Scripture. If we're children of God, we'll be like this. The first letter of Peter talks about it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 to 16. It says this. "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct." All your conduct. "Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without spot." I actually read to verse 19. That was 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 to 19. I love that passage because we can be holy because we want to be like our Heavenly Father. So we imitate God. Imitate God. Ephesians 5:1. "Therefore be imitators of God as obedient children." That's the difference adoption should make. We should want to be like him. And the final point. Our greatest, the third aspect we should. Adoption shows us how to pray. It shows us to imitate God. And the third point, to glorify and please God. Our greatest pleasure should be to glorify and please God. God's name should be precious to us. Indeed, in the Sermon on the Mount, what's the first thing the Lord teaches us to call God Father? What's the first thing we have to pray for? Hallowed be your name, or may your name be kept holy. May your name be treated properly. That's the positive of what we call the third commandment in the Ten Commandments. Don't misuse God's name. May God's name be treated with respect, reverence, and honour. In our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. That should be the greatest passion for the Christian. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. And Jesus in Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verse 16, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We conduct ourselves with fear in our exile, as Peter says, because we want others to glorify God. We want people to come to know Jesus so that God's name is glorified. We want to do all, we read it, 1 Peter chapter 1, be holy in all your conduct. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether you eat or drink, do it to the glory of God. Eating and drinking, the things that are, you know, we can't live without for very long. Do it to the glory of God. Everything in our lives should be stamped with to God's glory. If you're doing something, ask yourself, can I do this to God's glory? You know, these questions of conscience, which are serious. For Christians, because the Bible doesn't give us every single rule for every single part of life, but just ask yourself this. This, what I'm watching on television, this, what I'm listening to, this, what I'm reading, can I do it to the glory of God? And if you can't answer yes, it's time to stop those things. Because the glory of God is our most important priority. So my question to you, in closing, are you a child of God? This is a beautiful, beautiful teaching, a beautiful truth. We are co-heirs with Christ. Everything he has is ours, by faith. Forgiveness, when we receive through him forgiveness, adoption, the fatherhood of God. Psalm 103, as a father shows compassion for his children, so the Lord shows compassion for those who fear him. He's tender and kind. And loving, and wants to forgive you your sins, and he's given you a saviour, an elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you receive him today? Will you come to him, receive him as your Lord, as your saviour? Say sorry for your sins, and be welcomed into the family of God. Be adopted and receive all the privileges of the rights of the children of God. A right to all the privileges of the children of God, excuse me. And if you are a Christian, soak this truth up. You know, taste and see that the Lord is good. Give thanks that you're a child of God. that God gave birth to you by the Holy Spirit through the Word, that He's kept you, that He's given you a Saviour, an elder brother who lives and pleads for you, who's united you to Him by faith, so that what is His by nature is yours by adoption. And make sure that we are His children by being like Him, loving what He loves and hates, hating what He hates, and being what He wants us to be. And rejoice. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again. I say rejoice, for I am a child of God. It's all the blessing that God gave to us. And you know, it says in Ephesians 1, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 5. He predestined us. This adoption God chose us for before the world began. Praise God. Thank God. Bless God for His wisdom, His kindness and His love. Let's do that now. Oh God, we marvel at your plan of salvation, that you chose us, that you called us, that you gave birth to us by the power of the Spirit, through the Word, through the resurrection of Christ, who died on the cross, so our old self died with Him. We repented of our sins and received you by faith. And then you forgave us all our sins and counted us righteous. And now you adopt us and call us your children. You, O Lord, are our Father and our friend. Hallowed be your name. And may our lives, our words, our thoughts, our everything, our services, our work, our eating, our drinking, be done to your glory. And may your name be glorified. Work in the hearts of those listening now, O Lord. Give them assurance of your great love. And may we walk in holiness, being like Jesus. Indeed, being like you, because to see Jesus is to see the Father. For He is the image of the invisible God. We give you thanks and praise for Him in His name. Amen.